Thanks everyone for coming out. My name is Jamie Stark. I look after voice and cloud PBX stuff for Skype for Business, and this is your 2081 plan your cloud PBX deployment. And I say it's your 2081 because it really is yours in that you help own it by giving us feedback. We love feedback. If you've ever been to a Microsoft show, we always talk about the feedbacks. It's not just about the show. It's not just about the expo hall and the food and the comfy of the chairs, unfortunately, and the humidity of the room. Those are all things to which I and my fellow presenters do not have the opportunity to influence, but certainly have an opportunity to influence the timbre and the type of content that we bring to you. So I always start with this because it really is important, and we really love to hear what you guys think, because we're probably going to do another Ignite. Nothing to announce to that front, but we definitely want to make it consistently better. Well, Kaizen, always improving. And with that, we also have a little giveaway. I don't know, has anyone heard of this before? Anyone? Yay, a couple hands have raised. Okay, well, you can win the brand new edition of the Skype Room System by doing Twitter things. Twitter things are easy, and Skype Room Systems are awesome, especially the brand new ones that we have come out with. So please participate in this, and you may be going home with some good stuff. So the content of this topic today is around planning your cloud PBX deployment, and I thought I would just start off by kind of thinking about this in a slightly broader context. And this has been helpful in cases where I've been talking with customers in the Executive Briefing Center about how to think through their investments today and how those investments are going to change kind of going forward. And I think about it in this concept of communications eras, that kind of when we began to think about having a kind of private telephony system operating in a business, you know, this dates back to, you know, the concept of, hey, we don't just have to have a single entity providing telephony service around the country anymore. We can instead have our own little private telephony system. That's kind of this first era where we bring circuits on premises and we have a circuit switch to PBX that goes and manages that telephony. And that worked great. Like, that was a pretty big deal. Like, now I wouldn't have to pay the phone company if I was making calls inside the office. That was a pretty neat thing. And I could do some more interesting management of those phone calls. Kind of the next great era of telephony, you could say, would be the IP PBX. And now, instead of having two wires going to every office, one for circuit and one for packet, I can have one wire. Huge, monumental change in productivity, not really. But now I'm running my call processing on software. I'm running my call processing on closer to more standardized hardware. This era of the IP PBX, I would argue, has then kind of morphed into on-premises unified communications, where we made the realization that we've got lots of different communications tools that employees are having to manage. Communications tools for conferencing and for collaboration over the web and video and calling. Now with unified communications, I'm centralizing all of those things across two really important parameters. One being for the end user. I have one client, and I have one set of tools that I am to become familiar with. But then for IT as well, I've got one place where I can manage, and I can policy, and I can provide a single place to which I can provision all these communication services for my employees. Again, on premises. And I, you know, of course, use the link emblem up there. That's the prior version of Skype for Business. Obviously, there are other products out there that have been chasing this goal of on-premises unified communications for businesses. And now we're on the precipice of, I think, a fourth major era of communications, where no longer do you need to have these capabilities operating in software, in servers, racked and stacked in your data center, but now instead, these are public cloud services. And what's interesting is that now customers, in many cases, have an opportunity to leap a whole generation of technology that you can realistically think about. Well, instead of putting on-premises UC into our data centers, perhaps we can move from an IP PBX into cloud unified communications. And if you were at Gurdeep's session on Monday, that's fundamentally what he was talking about. It was fundamentally his message, that Microsoft is here and is ready in the cloud for unified communications for businesses. And I think this is a useful rubric to be able to use to think about what we're doing in this context. And so when we think about with Skype for Business, how to kind of think about online versus on-premises, of course we have the on-premises thing still, Skype for Business Server 2015. All the end user features and your PSTN services, the ones that you subscribe to from your carriers, all operating on your prem. Still do that. That on-prem deployment, that's great. So if you want a like-for-like replacement for your PBX, we can do that. But that's not what we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about the online and the hybrid models. Online being, you potentially don't have to have anything on-premises. You can have everything operating out of Office 365. Both cloud PBX and PSTN services that are being delivered to you by Microsoft. We'll talk about what that means, those two pieces. In addition, for customers that already have deployed Link and Skype for Business, perhaps you want to have the best of both worlds, have some of those users operating on premises and some of those users operating online. Perfectly reasonable. It's a great way to migrate those users as well. So you don't have to go and burn the whole thing down, start over from scratch in order to get to this fourth era, like you've had to do with every other era prior. Additionally, we have the opportunity to use that software on premises to be able to bring in your PSTN services into our cloud PBX. That's pretty interesting. That's where the integration with PSTN services on premises. So we have Office 365 running up in the cloud, cloud PBX operating within that, and we can use software to trunk your PSTN services from on-prem into the cloud. And we'll talk about what that looks like. Cloud PBX fundamentally has two major parts. One of those, the value proposition here, is that you can consolidate all your management, you can be a lot more agile by very quickly provisioning, getting reporting, and all of the diagnostics for your voice services straight out of Office 365. That's for you, all of you who are in IT. For your end users, they get a great voice experience where they can be on the home, they can be on the road, they could be out here at Ignite, they can be in the office, and they can have all the calling capabilities that they need across their mobile, across their tablet, on their workstations, on their IP phones. And fundamentally, we can interoperate with the capabilities and with the infrastructure you have on premises, and over time, eliminate those separate PBX systems. And so we're gonna talk a whole lot about this, but I always think it's fun, especially because it's the end of the day and I pressed the button that was wrong and now I'm gonna press the button that is correct. And we can actually kind of check some of this stuff out. So this actually happens to be the tenant that we are running downstairs in the on the show floor. You see Office 365 Admin Center. I'm logged in here with my user creds at ignite sfb.microsoft.com. you all can have this same experience. You can go out to aka.ms/e5trial, and you can go and check out all the stuff that I'm showing here. In fact, I purposefully chose this tenant because we don't have it set up with all the special back-end stuff for doing new preview and kind of engineering-only sorts of builds. This is very much a stock Office 365 E5 tenant. And this is the Skype for Business Admin Center. And it starts off with all of my users, and all the voice capabilities are underneath the voice tab here. And the first thing I'm going to do, it's cached a little bit because I was playing around earlier as everyone was walking in. You can see all the phone numbers that I have set up here in my tenant. So these are all phone numbers that are coming from our PSTN calling service, meaning I have Cloud PBX to be able to do user features and to be able to administer it, but I've also hooked that up to our PSTN calling service that gives us the ability to assign numbers to those users, and it has a calling plan associated with it. Now, in addition to getting numbers from Microsoft, I could also port my numbers in that I already have from a service provider. Now, number portability, it's one of those things that service providers generally aren't super excited about because it's kind of one of those things where they know they're losing a customer. So it's a complicated process, but it's one that we have both built into the tool. You'll see there on the left, taking the helm. So if you've got some numbers you want to port in as a test, you can totally go ahead and do that. And then we also have a service desk. Let us help you. So if you've got a lot of complicated scenarios, bunch of different addresses, bunch of different number blocks, then we can go through this in a service desk as well. But the point is that you can also bring in your numbers straight from your carrier. But getting new numbers is actually really cool. So let's go and check that out. First, it's important to note there's two different kinds of numbers that we're talking about here with Skype for Business and the PSTN calling service. One is for just vanilla users. Another is for services. Now, most commonly what folks are using for services are the PSTN conferencing dial-in. But in addition to that, we're also setting up media services in Office 365. This is for organizational auto attendance and hunt groups. We'll talk about those in a little bit, but those are coming into preview in just a couple weeks as well. So I can create new service numbers for the conferencing setup here, or if I added this tenant into the preview program in a couple weeks, I'd also be able to create new service numbers for those automated call handling services. But getting new user numbers is super straightforward and super easy. So I'm gonna go click on new service numbers, and it goes, okay, great. First, where do you want to get them from? Well, let's see. Let's play around with the United Kingdom, because this is actually pretty cool. When we initially came out with the PSTN calling service, we were only available in the United States. We've since added Puerto Rico and the United Kingdom. You can see there's a ton of cities that we have available here. It's a ton of different calling areas available in the UK. And here at Ignite on Monday, we announced preview for two more countries, France and Spain. So those are coming up as well. But again, this tenant not in preview, therefore, let's pick a number from London. London calling. Let's do five numbers from London. When I click on add, works a lot like concert tickets. Make a request out there, go and see what numbers are available. It comes back and it says, you have 10 minutes left to acquire those numbers. So it's kind of put a hold on them for my particular tenant from the giant database of numbers that Microsoft is carrying for everybody to my particular tenant. Now I get to go and check out those numbers. I know nothing about the London numbering plan besides the fact that it is country code 4420. Those look fine to me. I'll go ahead and acquire those. When I've acquired those, now I've brought them into my tenant for my unique usage. It says, great, green, all good. No worries there. And now, poof, I've got phone numbers in London ready to roll. From here, I could go into a user and I could go and assign those numbers. Or one of the enhancements that we've recently made is actually just to make that even easier, we've put this assignment capability directly within here. So in kind of one screen within the admin console, I can get a bunch of numbers and I can go and assign those to users. Of course, all of this stuff is automated with PowerShell. So you can set this up to where new user gets created in your HRMS system, and then with a couple lines of PowerShell, go and see, oh, do I have any spare numbers in that region? Cool, if so, assign it to the user. If not, go out to the database, go grab some more numbers, and assign those to the user. All good. So there's a user here without any numbers. Shockingly, his name is Jamie. We found him. And we found an emergency location as well. The emergency location I had set up here earlier because it's a real deal emergency location. It means that when I dial emergency services, that is the address that's going to be passed along to emergency services, so we validate it in the back end. You can't just put in 123 Main Street, London, UK, and have it be all good. Like, we've got to make sure that it's a real, actual geolocated address, and we've got a service that goes and does that. So as you all were walking in, I set up this address to make sure that it was legit. So here we go. I'm going to click on save. And it's going to go through, and it's going to say, uh-oh, sorry, what's going on? Oh, trying to assign a UK number. Perhaps this user may actually not be in the UK. And in fact, when I go and I look, yes indeed, Jamie Stark set up in the US. We can do some interesting stuff with PSTN calling, meaning I can have an emergency location in the US that's in Seattle, and I can give myself a number in Dallas, or vice versa. The fact that the number is associated with any particular physical location within a country doesn't matter for in US. In different countries, there are different rules and regulations about that, that as we expand the PSTN calling service, we're gonna support. But you're not allowed to have a UK number when in fact your user is located in the US. So one of the things to look at here, should this ever happen to you, go into active users. And this is actually a field within the user's Office 365 configuration. So when I click on product licenses, I actually need to specify that user's location here. Because if that user is set up in the US, I can only assign them US numbers. If that user is set up in Germany, we don't offer the PSTN calling service in Germany, and so we'll block that. Maybe at some point in the future, we will offer the PSTN calling service in Germany, and we will be able to have that set up. But it is important to note that we have some flexibility here in the way the numbers are assigned to users. Super easy to do, super straightforward, but it does have to be consistent from a location perspective. Some other cool things that we give you, tons and tons of reports. One of the reasons I like to pick this tenant is because I know it's getting lots of exercise downstairs in the booth with lots of folks doing fun calls. And yeah, it looks like a flat table here, flat CDR record. Of course, I can go and I can pull this down from PowerShell. Even within the tool, I've got the ability to go and export that to Excel. But one of the cool things that we've done here just recently is the ability to go and organize and sort this data even more finely. So now I'm having all of this data grouped by the type of call, and then I can organize it even further by user ID. And so it's pretty easy for me as an admin to go in and say, oh, let's look at all of the outbound calls that are PSTN outbound calls that are made by Belinda versus the calls that are made by Bonnie. Just really kind of cool way that I can go and not only sort these, but also group them in a fairly cool and interesting way. So that's just a quick tour of what some of the capabilities are for Cloud PBX and PSTN calling on the admin side. And I've specifically left a few things out because there are a few other sessions that we have going on here at Ignite where we're going into a fair amount more detail about how all these different pieces work. But fundamentally, the way to think about it, all the call control in Office 365, where I've got my premises, and I don't have to have any infrastructure there. I'm connecting straight up to the cloud. And what's in the cloud? Call control for all the users and that great tenant admin experience for IT pros. And you'll notice that I'm specifically calling out using either Azure Express Route or using the public internet to be able to connect between your prem and Office 365. And the way to think through that and the way to figure that out is to do a network assessment. And we've got two fantastic sessions here at Ignite specifically about that topic. One on kind of planning and thinking about how to do a network assessment, thinking about how to do the planning around it, readying your network. And then going through that process, should you find, you know what, we really do need to have a nailed up direct connection between our premises and Office 365, we do that using Azure Express Route for Office 365. Want to learn how to deploy it? Friday at 10:45. Cornel's got a fantastic session to go through that. So throughout this presentation, as there are other elements of kind of goodness that are happening at Ignite, we got about 45 sessions doing with Skype for Business at Ignite, and maybe 10 of them have other voice components to it. I'm going to call that out. And at the end, there's one big slide. So you don't have to scurry and write all these down as I talk through it. There's one big slide that's going to go through them all. From a calling features perspective, there's a ton. Again, for my end users, there's a tremendous amount of capability that's provided by Cloud PBX. Not only just kind of basics of answering and hold and forwarding, but fairly sophisticated stuff like delegation, and I can call on behalf of other users. I can do federated calling. I've got the ability to route my calls based on what my calendar is saying within Exchange. Or if I've set up Do Not Disturb, I know that nobody's going to be pestering me when I'm doing a presentation or when I'm just needing to get some work done. It'll automatically route that into voicemail. Two pieces to be aware of coming up soon: organizational auto attendant and call queuing and routing. Both of those talked about in another session and coming to preview just next month. Really, really excited about those capabilities. With regard to the clients that connect out to Cloud PBX, first, any of the rich clients are supported. So the existing Mac client, the new Skype for Business Mac client, all the PC clients, including the new VDI capability from Citrix, all the mobile clients across Windows Phone, iOS, and Android, and a bunch of IP phones from our partners, Polycom and Yealink and Audio Codes. The Polycom devices are already tested and qualified and ready to roll, and Yealink and Audio Codes are currently in testing right now, and we fully expect that those are going to be available probably within a month, like around October. But they literally are in the labs right now going through their final qualification testing. Finally, the Link Phone Edition devices that you may be familiar with from the previous generation of endpoints, those are also supported, Polycom's CX600, CX3000s. What isn't supported? The old Link Server Attendant Console, the original Link VDI plugin, those aren't supported with Cloud PBX. But there is, a whole session just dedicated specifically on all the cool stuff we're doing with devices. Definitely don't hesitate to check this out, because One of the things that we've been working on that super proud of is the ability to sign into IP phones without having to type in the crazy alphanumeric 14-digit, passwords that we have for Active Directory. Be able to do so in support of two-factor authentication and some other facilities. Talking about that in the devices session tomorrow. And upstairs, just right down there, in fact. Very cool. Voicemail is included with Cloud PBX. It's not Exchange Unified Messaging. It's a brand new voicemail service that we wrote specifically for Cloud PBX. The reason is that, and we really did look at this, the reason is that we wanted to have this experience be completely transparent. So when I assign a Cloud PBX license to a user, that voicemail box is automatically set up in the back end. I don't have to do any configuration. I don't have to do any work. It is automatically there, ready and waiting to operate in the background. Now, the way this works, like any other voicemail, call in, ring no answer, or forward, or D&D routing, goes into the voicemail service. Voicemail service picks up the call, plays the prompt, records the message, and then transmits that to Exchange. In terms of languages, we've got a ton of languages that are supported on the voicemail service. Clearly not going to go through all of these, but the voicemail service is ready to go. Cloud PBX is ready to go around the world. And just recently, we've been working on testing for Exchange support for on-premises. Initially, when Cloud PBX came out, we were only supporting Exchange Online. And we thought that made a ton of sense. Oh, people are, when they migrate to the cloud, first they do their messaging, then they're going to do their telephony stuff. And in fact, what we found is customers coming up and telling us, yeah, totally interested about going to the cloud for Exchange. In fact, we've got that project going, and that may take a little bit of time for us to complete it. In the meantime, can we start doing Cloud PBX right now? The answer is yes. This documentation is being written. The last little bits of the testing are being done, and then we validate that all the docs are clean. This is the initial look at that documentation. So you need to set up a hybrid topology. You need to set up a hybrid topology between, and you know what? In fact, I actually just noticed that there's an error on the slide. Exchange Server 2013 is required because you need OAuth, and Exchange Server 2010 does not have OAuth support. So you need to set up hybrid, you need to configure OAuth. Then you need to enable UM for those users, for their on-prem mailboxes. You just do that so that way Exchange knows that format for that traffic. And then you need to make sure that there's no Exchange licenses that are operating in the cloud. So make sure that user isn't configured for Exchange Online, because then we'll try to dump it into their Exchange Online mailbox as opposed to their Exchange on-premises mailbox. We're testing this right now with customers. It's working really well. But again, looking at October for having that to be generally available with proper documentation. This will be the start. We feel incredibly strong about what we're delivering in the cloud. And all of the services of Office 365 are covered by a service level availability agreement that says you're able to access the service, you're able to transact with us. And for Skype, that means to log in, to be able to send IMs, to be able to join meetings. But in addition to that, we wanted to stand behind not just the availability of the service and being able to transact signaling, but also be able to have great voice quality. And so we've added in a special SLA specifically for voice quality with respect to Skype for Business. So down there at the bottom, Skype for Business also includes an SLA for call quality. And that call quality means if the call sucks, if the actual media in that call is suboptimal, then that is eligible for SLA, just like if you can't sign into the service, just like if you can't join into a meeting. Now, clearly, there are a lot of factors that can impact voice quality. So the standard that we've set for this is that you need to first start off with an IP phone. We talked about phones from Polycom and Yealink and Audio Codes. You first need to start from there because the workstation can influence the amount of cycles that are available to process the media stack. And so that could be impacting the quality of calls. So we start off with an IP phone. Then we say, needs to have a wired Ethernet connection. Because wireless, as we all know from being here at this show, can be, at times, suboptimal. It can be not designed even for media. It could be designed from the beginning just to be able to manage signaling or to be able to do email traffic. And then finally, that the media issues are due to our network. The media issues are not due to the fact that you have, you know, tin cans and a string connecting between sites, a soda straw of a WAN link, as I like to say. We actually have this within the Office 365 portal. There's a whole call quality dashboard. I think it's worthwhile to go check that out since we're here. Did I press the wrong button again? God darn it. There we go. So if you go underneath tools, there's a whole bunch of different tools around all sorts of different connectivity, and the call quality dashboard is right down here at the bottom. This is effectively the same call quality dashboard that exists for on-premises. When I click on it, at first, it may say, oh, I didn't get your auth and your credits, just click the sign-in button. And then what you'll see is a whole bunch of very rich data about exactly what's going on with your tenant. So I can see here, across the days of the week, across what, let's see, what have I moved down here? The number of sessions that I'm looking at, and then the percentage of poor calls. So here down at the booth, not bad considering we didn't, you know, do any significant network planning for this deployment here at Ignite. Not like we set up ExpressRoute or anything. You know, 2% of poor calls, got a whole bunch of calls in here yesterday. And then if I actually configure my network, that's what it means up here. For best experience, try uploading your building data. If I configure my network topology within the call quality dashboard, I can even go and drill into this further and look at it by subnet or look at it by region or look at it wired wireless. We just got to tell the system, oh, it's these subnets that are wired, it's these other subnets that are wireless. And you'll notice right up at the top, that tab for the voice quality SLA is right there. So that way, directly from within the tool, you can hold us accountable to that SLA for voice quality. Let's see if I can get it right this time. Hey, he can learn. I mentioned a couple times that there is robust PowerShell capabilities within Office 365 and within the Skype for Business Online facility, including the ability to go and grab numbers. This is just, you know, 6 lines of terribly written PowerShell that me and Ben came up with to be able to do some demonstrations. It's talked about the call detail records, the call quality dashboard. And then, of course, another, you know, kind of key feature from an administration perspective is, should you require deterministic networking? Should you require the ability to know I've got a nailed up pipe between my site and Office 365, you can implement that with Azure ExpressRoute. Again, I wanna make sure the folks are aware, it's not required. We're not telling people, in order to get into Cloud PBX, you first have got to do a whole bunch of heavy lifting on the network. It's not true. But we want to be able to make that decision with data. And the data that we use to make that decision is that network assessment. That's key to any part of a rollout of Skype for Business. Incredibly excited about these upcoming features on the organizational auto attendant and call queue capability. So if you're not familiar with these terms, organizational auto attendant manages inbound calls. So it's a kind of general, you know, case we have for handling and treating calls that are coming into your main number, for example. 1-800-CONTOSO can go and can be handled by an organizational auto attendant. Then, if I need to have that call not routed to a user, but instead be routed to a group, we have the call queuing capability. And we have the ability to go and manage call queues and manage scenarios to be able to route those calls to end users in a more kind of, you know, structured way. So if somebody says, hey, I want to talk to the sales team, I can have the sales team sitting there on a queue, ready to go and ready to answer those calls. We are bringing this into preview next month. It is literally weeks away, and we're fully expecting the availability by the end of the calendar year. That being said, for all of our preview programs and for all the new features that we bring into Skype for Business, while we plan to have this available by the end of the year, we ship based on quality, not based on our calendar. And so initially, preview starts off some fairly basic capabilities, and then more and more advanced features like more sophisticated speech recognition, more choices on the call routing, all those come towards closer in preview and arriving by the general availability. The intent here, for those of you that are familiar with response groups capabilities in the server, the intent is to cover the same scenarios as response groups. May not be like for like each exact set of features available in the new auto attendant call queue capability as we have in response groups today. That's the goal, is to be able to handle that, scenario. And again, got a whole session just dedicated to this that happened in the last segment. One important note about Cloud PBX is the influence of conferencing, is the scenario of meetings for Skype for Business. Because with Cloud PBX, your user is homed in Office 365. Their registrar, technically, is happening in Office 365. All their user services, like Presence and Instant Messaging and Meetings, are all being delivered from Office 365. As such, when that user is homed in Office 365, you have two choices for the way that you provide dial-in access for those users. You can either use our partners, our ACP audio conferencing partners, to be able to hook up into Skype for Business meetings, or you can use our first-party native PSTN conferencing service. And we're going to talk about this, again, surprise, we've got a whole session all about our PSTN conferencing service. But what's not supported is a hybrid topology here, where I'm using on-premises resources to be able to terminate the call and then connecting that up to the cloud for the meeting. That's not supported. We're going to talk about, in more detail, hybrid topologies for calling, but in the conferencing scenario, the two options are I configure the user for ACP, for audio conferencing partner, or I configure the user with Microsoft's PSTN conferencing service. When it comes to things that we've got kind of cooking on the roadmap, here's what that looks like. We say now, that's generally referring to since the launch of the service. Again, clients, IP phones, all the kind of basics of calling, some more sophisticated features like team calling and delegation and call on behalf of. What we're working on, organizational auto-attendant, call queues, the ability to have even more voice policies operating within Office 365. Simple phone authentication, that's currently in test, and that's going to be released very, very soon. The ability to do extension dialing, so being able to have a different type of call plan operating within the cloud specific for your end users. And then being able to manipulate the outbound DID that a user, when a user is making a phone call, that appears on the far end. For example, anybody at Microsoft makes an outbound phone call, it all comes from 425-882-8080. That's outbound DID manipulation. When we look at next calendar year, there's a bunch of stuff on the list. These aren't commitments. This is what we're looking at. Voicemail transcription, that's actually going pretty well. We're looking really good on voicemail transcription. That actually may sneak in. There's some other more sophisticated features like dynamic E911, where we need to have a location service operating within Office 365. That may take a little while longer to see that get done. So take that calendar 2017, almost like those are the things that we're looking at. Those aren't necessarily all the things that are going to get done. And that's not necessarily guaranteed that that's going to show up by December 31st. But we're feeling good. We're feeling good that we're going to see a lot of those features. The idea here, though, is that as the capabilities of Cloud PBX continue to expand, you can address the communications needs of more and more of your users. And a novel way to think through that is, instead of thinking about it from an office perspective, or instead of thinking about it from a location perspective, to think about it from the requirements of those users. And myself and Tamor on Friday morning feels like a long ways from now, we're going to go and we're going to talk through a rubric to do that, thinking about how to apply the capabilities of Cloud PBX today, tomorrow, and further in the future to the user populations that you have. I think it'll be a really interesting session. Definitely come out to it if you're still in town on Friday. So I've talked about Cloud PBX. Cloud PBX is available worldwide. Cloud PBX is included with the E5 license, but you can also add it on to E3 or E1. Cloud PBX is about user features. Cloud PBX is about admin features. And Cloud PBX has nothing to do with connectivity out to the public switch phone network. For that, you have two options. One of those options is use our PSTN calling service, the service where we have a plan and we give you minutes and we give you numbers, or you can use on-premises PSTN connectivity to wire up your existing circuit, your existing carrier relationship, your existing contract, and have that operating with Cloud PBX. Both of those options are shown here. Option one, that direct connection from Office 365 out to the PSTN. No, I'm not going to tell you who we're partnering with to make that connection out to the PSTN, because it has as much to do with the service as who we're partnering with for bandwidth, or who we're partnering with for electricity. It's a fundamental resource that we are taking up and that we are providing in Office 365, and we're the butts that are on the line for the resiliency and the quality of that service. But, of course, we know that customers may not choose to go down that path so quickly and may want to continue to sweat the investment of their existing carrier contract and circuits. That's that bottom scenario there, on-premises PSTN connectivity. And again, we're just using software to do this. And if you already are a customer of of our server. You're already running 2013. You're already running Skype for Business server 2015. Great. You can totally use that. That is absolutely supported. Set up a split domain, configure hybrid calling, you're off and running. There's another option, though, where you can use Cloud Connector Edition to be able to do this. And we'll talk about what that means. Of course, the first party thing is our PSTN calling add-on. Again, that doesn't get included with Cloud PBX. You buy that additionally. And it's our first party offer available in particular countries. Again, today, generally US, UK, Puerto Rico. Starting in preview, Spain and France in October. All cloud-based. Don't have to have anything operating on premises. And we're functionally a utility in this case. We're operating within the regulatory tax and every other framework for providing PSTN services within those countries, which is why they are coming out serially, because shockingly, they are different. Yes, I know Canada has area codes that look just like area codes in the US. It's the NANP, the North America Numbering Plan. It's a beautiful thing. And they have completely different taxes and completely different regs and laws. And no, I can't say when the next countries are, except for Spain and France, coming to preview very, very soon in October. Why is this good? It's super quick to get started. We can do it in the booth. We can get you up and running so fast. I just grab numbers here in front of you. It all comes on a single bill. How many operators do you work with today that you have to have unique relationships and unique contracts with today? Instead, have it all come through Microsoft. Pay one bill for all your communications. All the latest updates are automatically provided. What that means is you don't have to do anything new when we have new countries. It's just there. It's just available. When we added the UK, then our customers were like, great, now I can go and I can assign numbers to users in the UK. This is perfect. Again, I can pick up new numbers, or I can port what I already have. And we think it's super easier to administer this type of capability. Again, Cloud PBX combines with PSTN calling. You need to have Cloud PBX in order to have PSTN calling. There's two plans that are available. There's a domestic-only plan for users who don't need to have effectively unlimited type of calling internationally. You can just give them the domestic plan, have area codes all over the place. Or there's a plan for domestic and international calling that has 196 countries, including landline, mobile calling within those countries. The minutes are included in those plans, and we pool them on a tenant basis. So when we say US and Puerto Rico gets 3,000 minutes of domestic calling per user per month, those are pooled across everybody that's in the US. And so you may have some people that make a whole lot of calls, but that'll be balanced against the people that don't make a whole lot of calls. In the UK, 1,100 minutes of domestic calling. In both of those cases, international includes 600 minutes of international calling. Now, what you can also do is you can configure a consumption billing account as well for cases where you want to have the ability for those users to dial internationally but don't want to pay for the full boat international plan. You can give them a domestic plan and then pay as you go for international calling. That's also how toll-free works. So we've got toll-free now operating in the service for PSTN conferencing. And when we release AutoAttend and call queues, you'll be able to set up toll-free service numbers, have those associated with a consumption billing account as well. You can pay with a credit card, or you can use your EA enrollment as the payment instrument. It's pretty straightforward. You set up an initial balance that's in that account, and then a minimum threshold, that once you hit that minimum threshold, we go and we apply more funds and we replenish that account. I think I've only said like 50 million times, but we are crazy excited about the preview starting for France and Spain. And I think it's kind of fun too. In the UK, we had about 1 million minutes of calling. Felt pretty good about that, exercising the service. But something tells me that France and Spain can clearly do better than the UK when it comes to the amount of exercise that the service gets. So I'm looking forward to seeing even more minutes going through from France and Spain to show up the UK a little bit in our preview. Sign up today. This is available today. It's been available since Monday, and we love to get everybody on it. We love to be able to get as many customers on this preview, exercising, calling in France and Spain as absolutely possible. Go to skypreview.com to go and sign up. In terms of the international coverage, it's gigantic. Yes, there are some places in the international calling plan where you can't call, like Antarctica, Inmarsat, things like that. But for the most part, got lots and lots of destinations for the international calling plan. I showed you what the number acquisition looks like. It really is designed just to be as easy and straightforward and fast as possible to be able to bring numbers in to your organization's inventory. We don't charge you for numbers. We charge you for user licenses, user subscriptions. And you can have overages. You can have more numbers than you have subscriptions to be able to manage cases where you're moving users around or assigning different users to numbers. Or you can have those numbers ported into Skype for Business as well. And this can be a complicated process. So what we recommend folks do, try it out first. Do one or two numbers first. Let's test the path end to end with the carrier who's losing your valued customer relationship and has every incentive to deny the port because you didn't capitalize Boulevard or you abbreviated it differently than what it is on your bill. I've seen port requests denied for trailing periods because, again, the losing carrier has no incentive to say yes. So they follow the letter of the law exactly. But we've done this and it works. And so when you're going through and you're doing your port, do so initially very gently with one or two users, one or two numbers, make sure that all that information is correct. Make sure your BTN, your billing telephone number that's associated with the account's correct, all those different pieces. In terms of kind of thinking through the different scales, this is one way to kind of think through that. Again, kind of standard porting, you could totally do that within the admin center, even slightly larger, where you have a little bit more manual handling. For complicated, bunch of different sites, bunch of different BTNs, I'm moving from a few different number blocks, definitely, though that's where we have a service desk to be able to support those porting, those ports into our service. Also, of course, included with PSTN calling, this is emergency services. So we do that integration. And what you saw here in terms of configuring the address is that's what it is within the UI. There's nothing else you've got to do in order to make this operate. It just works. It works just like that. But I do need to have that location for the user configured in order to assign them a phone number. I can't assign a phone number without a location because this is a real deal. This is a real PSTN service. And by regulation, we're not allowed to not support emergency services dialing. in terms of client support, slight difference in the way that the rich clients and mobile clients operate. With the mobile clients, I've got location through GPS, and so we use the mobile carrier to be able to fire off 911 calls. Whereas in the rich client, they're sent to a screening center, I get the caller's location, and then we transfer that call up to the public safety access point. That's right. I mentioned changing outbound caller ID. That's here. Thin on some of the documentation, hasn't been talked about a lot, so I wanted to put slightly more than 200 level documentation up here with regard to doing outbound caller ID. Essentially, there's four different PowerShell commands that you use. We don't have this built into the UI yet. That is coming. But for almost everything that we do within Cloud PBX and the PSTN calling service, we build it out first in PowerShell, and then we make that available within the UI. So I can see all the policy that I have in place for outbound caller ID, then create a new policy, assign that to the user. Today, you can change that to a service number, or you can change that to another line URI. We don't support, though, changing that to any random number, because clearly there are some concerns about caller ID spoofing that you could do with free tenant and everything else. And we're kind of working through what the process needs to be for hybrid cases, right? So I may want to have all my PSTN calling users have an outbound caller ID or outbound DID that then points to an on-premises PBX pilot number. Perfectly reasonable scenario. But we need to make sure that we're not pointing it to, I don't know, the White House or something crazy, right? So we're working through that process and what that's specifically going to look like. Showed a little bit of what the reports look like. You've got 90 days there within the UI. Of course, you can go and export these. You can have a PowerShell backend going and slurping all this data up on a regular basis. And then we are also behind the scenes doing a bunch of work to make sure that fraudsters aren't taking advantage of the system. And we actually have a bunch of experience from Skype Consumer. Now, it's not the same infrastructure. Obviously, all of this is running in Office 365. Skype Consumer has a very different infrastructure in the way that it routes PSTN calls. But the heuristics and the knowledge about what fraudsters look like and what their call patterns are, and where they originate from, and how they manage their traffic, we've learned a ton from Skype Consumer, and we've applied those learnings into Skype for Business. Again, very different types of infrastructure, but very similar learnings that we've been able to apply. So those were all about the PSTN calling service, Cloud PBX with our first party service and how that operates. Because again, Cloud PBX doesn't come with PSTN. You gotta add it on, or you use your existing circuits. On-premises PSTN connectivity. You use software, you put that on-prem, that software hooks up with your existing PBX system. It hooks up with your existing SIP trunk or gateway or session border controller. We really don't care. To us, it looks exactly the same as Skype for Business server. In fact, it's the same bits. It's the same physical topology that we're running in every case. And so from a supportability perspective, anything that works on Skype for Business server for outbound PSTN works in Cloud PBX with on-premises PSTN connectivity. And this is just a bigger highlight on what this topology looks like, where I have split domain configured between Office 365 and my software that's running on-prem, that's then connected to my PBX or my gateway or whatever that may be. And then that's what's trunking calls out the door. And of course, we've got more literally in this room tomorrow talking about planning cloud connectivity with on-premises PSTN connectivity. So, why should you do this topology? You already have this infrastructure and you want to take advantage of it. Perhaps you don't trust us yet. Perhaps making this jump to the stage 4 of the communications eras, maybe there needs to be a stage 3.75. And we have to prove quality, we have to prove reliability. That's perfectly reasonable. Or you have a contract, and that contract expires in 2 years. And that contract has a minimum number of minutes that it must fulfill. Or you're running on-prem today, and it's a really easy way to pick up those users from on-prem, have them operate in the cloud, but yet use all that same infrastructure. When you make that move, you do have an opportunity for a much smaller footprint on site in comparison to doing a full boat server. Now, there's a whole bunch of ways that you can go and configure this on-premises PSTN connectivity with Cloud PBX. Whole bunch of different topologies that are available. Again, if you've got the server, use it. It's all good. You could also deploy a new server pool to do that as well. I think fewer and fewer customers are really going down this path because it's a full server pool and because of Cloud Connector Edition. Cloud Connector Edition takes that full server and shrinks it down to its most essential pieces that are necessary for this topology. It has AD, it has Edge, it has mediation, and it has some goo to bring that all together. No registrar for users, no MCU for meetings, no reverse proxy requirements. It's really just the core components that you need for on-premises PSTN connectivity. And what we've done is we package that software up into virtual machines. You download those virtual machines for free off the internet. Go run them on some hardware, you're good to go. Even better, go and talk to Audio Codes, go and talk to Sonus. They take that software, they run it in their SBCs. Partner offering, where the Skype for Business server software is already packaged in the SBC or the gateway. One box, one install. Super quick to get going. They've done a fantastic job of getting these pieces ready. Just in terms of comparing the two approaches of using a full boat pool or using Cloud Connector Edition, there's a few different things to be aware of. I've got a bunch of notes in here in the slides as well as to exactly where some of these numbers come from. In terms of, you know, worst case, meaning how many users and how much traffic they're pushing out through Cloud Connector Edition versus using a pool. But pretty clearly, Cloud Connector Edition has the scale and it has the kind of quick-to-service requirements that a lot of customers are looking for. And we've had a tremendous amount of interest and lots of customers that are going down this path of deploying Cloud Connector Edition. Now, if you have a server pool, it'll work fine. You can run Link 2013. You could run Skype for Business Server 2015. You need to set up a hybrid topology. You need to set up split domain, set up Active Directory sync, and then you'll be off and running. You can do this. You can do this straight away with your existing tenant. With Cloud Connector Edition, first requirement is you do not have an existing on-premises deployment. That's one piece that we don't support today. If you already have an on-prem deployment, you need to use that. If you don't have an on-prem deployment, you can use Cloud Connector Edition. But the two do not coexist. The client has a bunch of code in there to go and find its core registrar. And when you're running both Cloud Connector and the server topology, that doesn't work. Now we're looking through this and we're looking to resolve this. But right now, if you have the server, use the server. If you don't, use Cloud Connector. Cloud Connector comes in two kind of flavors, as you will, or essentially two tested topologies for usage. Effectively, this is all just media processing traffic, right? So I'm getting requests in, I'm getting call traffic in from Office 365, and I'm getting media from the client, and I'm turning that around, and then spinning that down the next top SIP here. I'm spinning that down into your existing circuits. So it's really just CPU bound. And so what we did in our testing, we originally had, hey, let's make it beefy. 500 simultaneous calls, let's go. But in addition to that, we knew we could scale that down to where you could run pilots, 50 simultaneous calls on a fairly lightweight system, on a quad i7 or 32 gigs of RAM. It's effectively my laptop. Or a little NUC or whatever the case may be. And we looked at, from this testing, about 70% of the usage coming from inside, 30% of that usage coming from outside. If that changes, obviously that's going to change a little bit. If you've got everybody coming in from the outside, well, Edge is going to be busier. It's going to be doing more work, and so therefore, your scale may not be quite as high. Want to learn how to do this? Excellent. Cornel's got a whole session tomorrow, 2:15. Deploy Cloud Connector. It's fantastic. You go through and actually see step by step how to deploy Cloud Connector Edition and have it working with Office 365. Summary, again, I don't think Gurdeep could have said it any better. We're ready. We're here today. Not just with Cloud PBX, but with Skype for Business Online broadly. That we have the ability to take on lots and lots of your customer scenarios and customer profiles. You can try it yourself. This is one of the beauties of the public cloud, is that you can go out to aka.ms/e5trial, fill out a form, and be up and running with Cloud PBX straight away. And additionally, we've got all this running the expo, exactly what you saw me demonstrate. It's the same tent that we have running down the expo hall. We can go through a whole bunch more scenarios. But even better than that, we have customers that have come out and wanted to share their stories about using Office 365 and Skype for Business Online. And I wanted to end with this because, you know, myself and my colleagues, we like talking in front of people. It's part of what we do. We're marketers or technical, you know, engineers like talking. So we come out, we do this stuff frequently, right? Our customers, they come out, they share their stories of doing this stuff, and this isn't their day job. And it's fantastic to hear what they've gone through and what their business rationale was and how they think about the ROI of a solution and how what hindrances they've come up with as well. And Cushman & Wakefield and Kelly Services, Gurdeep talked about both of them in his general session. There's just so much more that they have to share about their experience. Mostly good, some of it sideways, learning from all of it. And I really, really stress, you have lots of learning opportunities here at Ignite, but these customer sessions are super near and dear to my heart. And I love the fact that they're coming out here, not their day job, and going and talking to y'all with the bright lights and everything else. And it's pretty fantastic. And they very much have a ton to share about their experience in coming to Office 365. So with that, these are all the sessions that I referenced in my little shindig. Yep, this is all of them. That bright blue line is where you are in your Microsoft Ignite 2016 experience today. You've made it through now 3 entire days. You should all give yourselves a round of applause. But there are, right? Thank you very much. But there are two more days left. And there's a whole lot more good stuff coming, including session that Tamor and I get to do on Friday, talking about how cloud PBX can apply to different profiles of users within your business. And so with that, I am going to say one more time that we really, oh, that's right. There's fast track slides in here. I was all ready to get into the, hey, you should fill out your evals. A ton of great resources that are available out on Fast Track. The tech community here, of course, great place to go out and reach out for questions and answers. Not only chuckleheads like me, but really smart engineers are hanging out at the tech community, folks that actually build the product. But most importantly, please, please, please follow your evals. Tell us how we can do better. Tell us, you know, if the room's too cold, that's cool. But really when it comes to the content, we really look at this every single year. We go in, we think about our curriculum for Ignite. And so with that, thank you so much for hanging out. Love to be able to take any questions up here at the thing. And everyone have a wonderful night. Thank you.